All right. Good evening. Good to have everybody here tonight. As we get things started, we're going to start the first thing tonight off with the first and second grade class is going to come up and recite Paul Revere's Ride. So if they'll come up at this time. Thank you, first and second grade. That's a lot to memorize. Man, they did that in chapel one day, and we just said it was so good we'd want to hear again. So I enjoyed it the second time as well. Again, I welcome those who are visiting tonight. This is our 14th kindergarten graduation now, 14th. So this is a special night. All those who are dressed, as I saw, as preacher said, the lights going off is a special night for each and every kindergarten, the kindergartner themselves and their parents. Somebody was telling me tonight, 12 more years to go. I'm, like I said, Mrs. Donahoe, I don't know. Well, 12 more to go. So this is not formal. I mean, if you want to come up, take a picture, and just let you know that for those who are visiting. But I would like this time the kindergartners to come up, and they are going to recite Psalm 121 and sing He's Still Working on Me.
Thank you.
did such a good job. I'm glad some of them get the voice their parents have. I'm telling you, that's a blessing. Amen. At this time, I'd like to introduce those who are guests with us and those parents or graduates tonight. So we'll just start off from the Donahoes and work our way kind of around. So if those who are in the Donahoe family, Brother Tim and Miss Melanie, if you all will stand and then introduce any guests that are with you tonight. Yeah. Nice to have you all here tonight. Amen. The Griffies, Brother Tom, Miss Jennifer, and those who are with you. I think Brother Griffies, I don't know, he said she gave her something and he gave some water that wasn't good or something. I don't know what it was, but she's going to speak. He's lost his voice, so go ahead. Very good. Nice to have you all tonight. Nice to have you all tonight. Amen. The Monkowskis, Brother Jason, Miss Kelly, and those who are guests with you tonight, Brother Jay. Very good to have you. Nice to have you tonight. Amen. And Mrs. Nelson, and those who are part of your family, go right ahead and introduce those who are here tonight with you. Amen. Good to have you all here tonight as well. The Smiths, there they are, Bill and Joyce Smith. Those are with you, Brother Bill. Very nice to have you. Mom's here tonight as well. Let's see, Jaden. And then Dan and Kelly. The Thomasons there. Those who are with them. I was going to say, Brother Tony, come on. Very good. Good to have you all here tonight. Amen. Good to have those who are guests tonight. Thank you all for coming. Again, I think the kids, just the effort they put forth, and I just want to say something about each one of them, that maybe something across this year that they've impacted me, or something maybe even Mrs. Payne. And so we want to just take a minute to let you know what a day each day is like with them. And I can't, the first one to start off with is Derek, so we'll have to start with him, the first one. First of all, he has the right baseball team. He's a Cardinal fan, so that's the first one. He had that going as soon as he got in. He had that going. I'll never forget, we were talking about it today, I'll never forget, we were in a meeting with all the guys. I just wanted to talk to just the guys, and it was one of those getting on to them kind of meetings, you know, get together. Well, we all gathered in the room, and I even called the kindergartner boys in the room as well. And I got them in there, and we were waiting on just a few of the boys to come. And we were sitting around, just standing there, a couple of them, not enough seats, they're standing there. And I can remember Derek sitting there, and it was dead quiet, you know, just as quiet as can be. And I'm trying to be serious and have a, you know, serious face, and, you know, I'm going to nail their high, and this is going to be how it is. And, you know, and Deke, will somebody say something? I lost it. I couldn't say anything after that. I lost it. Somebody say something. And I go back again. Something they went over, deciding, I guess it was in their class, about the twins. They were asking about around, the Thomasons will be having twins, and they were asking, well, what should we name? Do you guys have any suggestions about names? What should we name? And Deke had, I thought, a great suggestion for twins. He said, name them Bacon Clake. So Bacon Clake is going to be their names, Bacon Clake. So that was his, he thought that's what he should name them. I say go for it. So Bacon Clake is what they're, so Deke though, seriously, he never stops trying. I think Mrs. Payne and I both were talking and said, you know, he just never stops. He's always one of those boys, he's not going to quit no matter what it is. He's going to keep going. And yes, we could have many more stories, but Deke, good boy, and I enjoyed the time just walking in the classroom, and he'd always be, Brother Bragg, and he'd have to tell me something or tell me a story. And some of them, I didn't even know they could speak until about halfway through the school year, and he, not Deke, he was right there. So I enjoyed every minute of it. Aiden, I still remember Patriotic Day when Aiden, I don't know, I don't know how long was it, the Griffey's, probably a week and a half, 2 weeks. The red from his hair from Patriotic Day, he could not get the red spray paint or whatever it was in his hair. He had red skull for about a week, and that blonde hair just showed through. I mean, he just had red the whole entire, it was a week and a half, but he had red hair. And just, again, one of those excellent spirit. He was a pleasure to be around, and I enjoyed Aiden as well. The Munkowskis, and yes, their little girl, sweet as can be, and she never would say anything. I didn't even know that Hadley talked for, I don't know, for forever. I didn't even, her and Isabel, I would walk in and they were scared to death of Brother Bragg and what he was going to say or what he was going to do. They wouldn't say a word. And I know they take, at least Hadley takes after her dad in that. He's quiet, kind of passive. Now, that's the... Yes, that's Brother Jason. That's right. But I enjoyed her sweet spirit, very quiet and sweet spirit, and just willing to do anything. I know Mrs. Payne said she just, whatever needs to be done, she'd be willing to do it. And just a great young lady. Again, going over to Isabel. Again, another very quiet, sweet spirit. I always called her my shadow, because whenever I got out of class, Mrs. Nelson may have been cleaning up. She volunteers, and she was there, and she would follow me everywhere I would go. If I was out of class, she'd be right behind me. I'd turn around. She was right there. She was my shadow. So I enjoyed, again, another girl that had a great, sweet spirit about her. And she loved reading. Mrs. Payne said she just enjoyed to read, was just enthusiastic about reading. Jaden, growing up in a household of brothers. I don't know that you can't say that he does not have a competitive spirit in him. He is competitive in everything he does. He has to be in that household. He has to be. And he just, everything he, I'd come in, Brother Smith would drop him off early in the morning. And I'd come in and he'd be sitting there and he'd be reading or he'd be doing something. He wouldn't be just looking off and he wouldn't be, he would just be concentrated on what he has to do or what was that day's work or getting ready to read for a speedy reader. He was always sitting there and ready to go for the day. And I just thought, such a good boy. I mean, just a good boy, had a great attitude. And he always strived just to do his best. And everything he did, he strived to do everything his best. And so I enjoyed Jaden as well. And the last one, and that is save the best for last, right, Abigail? That's right. She, Abigail, I enjoyed everything. Never, I put this next to my notes, never a dull moment. There was never a dull moment in the life of Abigail. I called it Abigail Land. It was Abigail Land. It was, everything was Abigail Land. And she would come and tell me something that happened during the day and or bring me a picture. And her picture was Abigail Land. It was what Abigail Land was doing that day. And so I enjoyed her spirit again. Just the kindergarten class this year, Mrs. Payne would get done with the class, and she would be walking out of her classroom. It'd be 12 o'clock, and she'd always ask me, Brother Bragg, do you want kids today? And I, my answer every time, right, Mrs. Payne, I'd say, no way. And then I'd turn to her, and I'd say, I would say yes if you want to trade for some high school kids, because I've got some high school kids I can trade for those in kindergarten. And I just want to say thank you to each and every one of the parents that invested a lot of time in Speedy Reader. I know, challenging some days, those days to get three done, and those days to push them to get through their books, and they all finished, and it was just a blessing to hear them come up to me and say, Brother Bragg, I got done, I'm finished, and it was just a blessing to see how hard they worked, and they were glad, and they wanted somebody else just to be a part of how much they've worked and how hard they worked. So, at this time, I'd like Mrs. Payne to stand. I'd like her just to stand. I want to give Mrs. Payne a round of applause. She has worked so hard. Thank you so much, Mrs. Payne. There's days where she would be that, in pain. There were some days she'd come in and she didn't feel very good, or there was a day that she was having a hard day and she was in pain. And then there was other days where she would go insane. That was the other flip side of it. She was insane. I'm going to kill somebody would be her remark. You know, she was just, Mrs. Payne was always there, never complained, never said I couldn't do it. always concerned. If there was ever something where somebody she felt wasn't where they needed to be, she'd come talk to me, and we'd sit down and talk. And I just enjoyed working right along with Mrs. Payne and how hard she worked. She does have a note, and I'd like to read that at this time. This is the note from the teacher. "This year has gone by so quickly. I cannot believe graduation is here. I am so proud of this class. They have worked very hard, along with their parents, to complete all 4 Speedy Reader books. This is a great accomplishment. I am so thankful God has given me the opportunity to teach your children. I love teaching. It is a joy coming to a school each day. I love watching their face light up when they learn something new. My goal is to give them a love for school. We have a lot of fun in class, but we also learn how to listen and obey. Thank you, moms, especially for all the hours you have spent working on Speedy Reader. At this time, your children have a small gift and just a thank you gift for you." And I'd like them to go ahead and give that to their moms at this time. Again, thank you, parents, so much. They're going back. There's more. It's like to be continued here. It keeps going. I want to say this time a very special thank you to Mrs. Carlson and Mrs. Nelson for coming in 2 days a week to help with Speedy Reader. Just an unbelievable blessing. And they've got something they'd like to give Mrs. Nelson. And there's Mrs. Carlson. I think you've got yours already. Amen. Again, a great blessing that Mrs. Payne says, "I could not have finished without your help. Enjoy your summer. I love you, Mrs. Payne." So thank you all again to all the parents. Thank you for your kindness and patience and encouragement. Again, both to Mrs. Payne and myself. You were encouragement behind us and everything that we were trying to get accomplished, get them through those Speedy Readers. We sincerely thank you for allowing us the privilege of assisting in the training of your children. And I really do appreciate that. Deke, Aiden, Hadley, Isabel, Jaden, and Abby, we are very proud of you. For all that you've got through this year, you have all been good students. Now for the important time. Now for the important things. And at this time, would the graduates please stand? Derek Cole Donahoe. You want to get here? Come here. Congratulations, sir. There you go. There. Aiden John Griffey. Hadley Janelle Munkowski. Again, parents, if you want to come up, take some pictures, go right ahead. Mrs. Payne, are they all right-handed? They all go for the left hand. Next one. Isabel Fiona Nelson. Jaden Martin Smith. And Abigail Mackenzie Thomason. Kindergartners, you may move your tassels. And they are now first graders. At this time, the elementary choir is going to come up, and they will be singing, contrary to what is in your program. It is entitled, the song is, Listen for the Trumpet.
Thank you, young people. That was a blessing. I enjoyed the graduation exercises, and I want to talk just for a few moments tonight about this important matter of the teaching of our children. So let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I want to echo Brother Bragg's comments about Mrs. Payne and to tell you what a wonderful job that lady has done this year with this class. Mentioned on Sunday, for those of you that are visiting with us tonight and don't know any of the other children outside of your own grandchild or whatever the relationship may be, there's not a passive child in this class. They're all aggressive and all very, as Brother Bragg said, competitive and full of spizzorinctum and energy. And she has done a wonderful job corralling all that energy. There's a difference in corralling it and squelching it. I don't like the idea of squelching fire in a kid. We have too much of that in our society. We're trying to raise a bunch of listless couch potatoes who don't get stirred up about anything. And I'm glad for people who get stirred up about the right things. And I'm glad for energy, and as long as it's corralled in the right direction. And she's done a tremendous job this year, as Brother Mike said, sometimes not feeling the best and yet giving it her best. And for those also who helped her and in that class, God bless you, and God bless all the parents. There's absolutely, it won't work if parents have the idea that it is the school's job to educate your children. That will not work, because it is not our job. It is the parents' job to see to the education of their children. The school is here to assist the parents. And so, parents, God bless you. And as he said, for all those minutes or maybe hours you spent in those speedy reader books, I can remember those. It was a happy day when the last book was finished. Amen. And so, but those are great tools for teaching young people how to read. And but we don't want to be satisfied with just a status quo education. We'd like to give them a great education. And parental involvement is key. And that's not only true about kindergartners. That's true about any age group whatsoever, all the way through high school. So thank you, parents, for your involvement. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, look with me just for a few moments here at verse number 8, if you would. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, this is talking about Solomon, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Let's have prayer. Dear Father, help me tonight as I talk for just a few moments here on the important matter of teaching our children. And thank you, God, for every parent and all the teachers and helpers that were involved in the education of their children, not only in kindergarten, but all throughout our school this past year. We're thankful, Lord, for each one who's graduating, and we thank you for these six kindergarten graduates, especially this evening. Bless them and their parents and their families in a very special way, we ask. Bless these thoughts from your word in Jesus' name, and amen. And folks, for those of us who are at the age we are at as adults, let's not forget how exciting it was when you graduate from kindergarten or any accomplishment as a young child. And remember that these kids are mighty excited tonight and have every reason to be. Amen. And make it exciting for them. Now, let me give you just a little bit here. Solomon is the human pen of the book of Ecclesiastes, and as he approaches the conclusion, he addresses the subject of wisdom. He does that, of course, in the book of Proverbs, but also in the book of Ecclesiastes. In fact, the next book that we'll do a survey on in our series is the book of Ecclesiastes. And I won't take time for any more background material on the book other than that tonight. He's the human pen, and he approaches the conclusion of the letter or the book talking about the subject of wisdom. In verse number 9, he mentions proverbs or wise sayings. That's what a proverb is. It's a wise saying. Many of these proverbs he spoke himself. He was responsible for over 3,000 of these wise sayings. The book of 1 Kings chapter 4 tells us that he made 3,000 of them himself. And he also sought out and set in order many more wise sayings. Let me say this tonight. There was no one better situated to speak about wisdom than Solomon. Because the Bible says that God gave Solomon more wisdom than any other man on the face of the earth. In fact, a lot of men and women who were in positions of leadership as kings and princes and queens in that day came to him for advice and for counsel. He was a wise, wise man, the wisest man on the entire earth. So there's nobody better situated to talk about wisdom than Solomon. In verse number 10, you find out that he sought out words and teachings that would help the people. He desired to bring words that taught rightness and truth. And I love the example of this man. His heart was burdened for his people to know truth and wisdom. It says here, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright and words of truth. It was important to him. So much so that he put time and he put effort and he put energy and he put compassion into accumulating these words of truth and wisdom. And you know, I find that same, probably not to the degree Solomon had it, but I find that same fire burning in my heart to seek and to find out wisdom to just transmit to God's people. I would love for the people of Faith Baptist Church to be helped in all areas of life. These are difficult days, and they make it more difficult. But God's people don't have to despair, because this is a book relevant to the day and age in which we live. And friend, the most important thing is for us to get the words of rightness and wisdom and the principles of truth that God put in this book, and not just get them, but live them, put them into practice. And we can have peace and we can have joy and we can have all kinds of God's blessings in the midst of difficult days. I was driving home from church earlier today, and we had talked about the Sunday school classes and the class on marriage, and that I'm going to be teaching this summer at 10 o'clock. And boy, I can tell you that my heart burned as I thought about that class, and even to the point of weeping and tears in my eyes with a strong desire, God, please help me and give me words and truths and principles that will be a help and a blessing to the people, the married couples of our church, to build their marriages in difficult days. And this is the kind of thing that Solomon was an example to all of us who are preachers. His heart was on fire to know wisdom. By the way, parents, you know, your formal days of education have ended, but everybody ought to be in a continual cycle of learning. When you cease to learn, you cease to grow. And that's the honest truth. Man, there's never a time when somebody we ought to be involved in the accumulation of learning. And that was Solomon's great desire, his great burden. Now, I want you to see verse number 11. The Bible says that the words from the mouth of those who are wise are effective in two different ways. Look at it. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails. Do you see that? He says the words of the wise shall be used as goads and nails. Now I want you to notice that these words come from the masters of assemblies. That's interesting. Do you see that in the middle of the verse? Fastened by the masters of assemblies. In some passages, the Bible uses the word master in relation to a teacher. So he's talking here about those who would stand in front of people, assemblies, groups, gatherings of people, and teach principles of truth and wisdom. He said these words from these wise people, okay, these masters of assemblies. So the masters or teachers are over these assemblies. An assembly is a gathering of people. So these masters are teaching wise words to assemblies of people. You see that? These masters are teaching wise words to assemblies of people. Now, there are many masters in this room tonight. Many masters in this room. Every parent in this room is a master of an assembly. I'm talking about you, the children in your home. You may not teach a formal class at church and Sunday school or in anybody's school setting, academic class, but you are a master of an assembly. You are a teacher of a group of people called your children, your kids in your home. These parents teach their children. And there's not a certain quota that must be met in order to have an assembly. Any gathering can be an assembly. So parents who teach their children are masters of assemblies. We have teachers who teach assemblies of children on Sunday. We have Sunday school teachers here tonight. We have teachers who teach assemblies of children on Monday through Friday. We have others of you who teach at special occasions during the year. Now listen very carefully. No matter what age or gender, no matter how many, or no matter how often, any time children are gathered with a teacher, there is a potential for the transfer of wisdom and the transfer of truth. So that's true about parents. That's true about teachers. That's true about men who preach in certain situations. Anybody who stands with the truth, with principles, with words of wisdom, and has the opportunity to transmit that truth, that wisdom, is a master of assemblies. Now, the question that some teachers may have, and I say parents, school teachers, Sunday school teachers, preachers, the question that we may have from time to time is this: am I doing any good? Am I making any progress? Or is teaching children a waste of time? Is teaching this assembly of children, whether it's in my home, in my schoolroom, in a church Sunday school class, in a vacation Bible school setting, on a bus coming and going from the church services, is this teaching, this assembly of children, making any kind of impact on their lives? And I want to say to those who are in any kind of teaching capacity tonight, which includes every parent in here, that you can't always measure success immediately. Success can only be measured over a period of time. We need to go back to what God said the teaching would be used as in the lives of those who listen. And no matter what we may feel is happening in their hearts, we have to have faith in what God said wise words would do for those who are taught. Very carefully. He said wise words will be used as goads. What's a goad used for, folks? What is a goad? Goad's a prod. Right? Anybody with any farming experience, you know what a prod is. You know what a cattle prod is. I've got a story that I tell about cattle prods from my days at the boys' home. Except it wasn't used on a cattle. It was used on a lazy boy who wouldn't get out of bed. Worked pretty good, by the way. Wasn't me either, by the way, all right? It was used by somebody else. Prods are used to get an animal moving. A prod is an encouragement. To get busy, to keep moving, to make progress. And don't quit ahead of the finish line. A prod motivates an animal to keep going. Now, those of you parents and those teachers and anybody presiding over an assembly of kids, understand that the words of wisdom you're teaching are not in vain. Somewhere down along the path of life, something that was taught that child will come back and will goad the young person. It will push them on. It will encourage them to keep going. It will encourage them to make progress, even though they may not feel like it at the time. I would imagine if we took the time tonight, there are people, adults in this auditorium, you could think back over your days of education as a teenager, as an elementary school child, and somebody somewhere taught you something. And over the years, what they taught you has been a goad in your life. It's been a prod. It's moved you. It's pushed you along. It's helped you make progress. And, you know, when you begin to bog down in the path of life, all of a sudden you'll think back to third grade or seventh grade or ninth grade. Or maybe it wasn't even a classroom in school. Maybe it was something that Dad just said one day out changing the oil in the car or on the way to the lake to fish for a couple of hours. Or maybe it was something Mom said in the kitchen as you were washing dishes together. And the transfer of wisdom from adult to child. And, you know, you think, am I doing any good? Am I making any progress? Is this making any impact on the kids? And the truth of the matter is, folks, you'll never know until you get to eternity how many things you taught the Holy Spirit of God used as a goad in the lives of those young people. Goads. Can you think back to something that you were taught as a young person that pushed you along? That still pushes you along. I can recall, man, 4 years in college, 4 years in Bible college. There are so many things that God uses as goads in my life. I think about C.W. Fisk. Dr. C.W. Fisk, one of the great adult soul winners in this world. Up at Elgin now, working in Brother Gomez's ministry up there. I never will forget him coming to Church Ed and teaching on a subject in Church Ed. And he made a statement. I have never forgotten it. He said this. I'm not sure it originated with him, but he was the first one I heard it from. And his statement was this: good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. You know what that's been in my life? That's been a goad. It's been a goad. Well, sometimes maybe a little bit of self-satisfaction sets in. A little bit of, you know, maybe not pushing myself. Maybe just kind of satisfied with where I am in life. Somewhere in the recesses of my soul, I could hear Dr. C.W. Fisk saying, good, better, best, never let it rest until your good is better and your better's best. You know what that was? That was a goad. Now, C.W. Fisk, he has no idea how God has used that in my life. He won't know until he gets to eternity how that's been used as a goad in my life to push me along. So, Mom, Dad, are you doing any good? You can't know that yet. Teacher, are you doing any good? You can't know that right away. Sunday school teacher, junior church preacher, primary church director, those lessons you teach, am I doing any good with these children? God will take those things that they've heard and will use them as goads later on in life to help push them along, encourage them and move them. But that's not all. God said not only will He use words of wisdom like a goad, He said He would use words of wisdom like a nail. What's a nail used for, folks? A nail is used to fasten or hold something in place. Wise words taught by masters of assemblies will be used to fasten or hold a young person to a way of life. And if young people will listen and learn from the masters of assemblies, from the teachers, they will hear things that will keep them in the way of blessing and victory. And young people, I want to challenge you tonight. Don't let all the words of wisdom that your parents and your teachers and those who preach to you and those who share with you things from God's Word, don't you let those things fall on deaf ears. You soak them up. God will use them someday like a nail to keep you nailed in the right place, to keep you fastened in the right way of life. I was thinking about how many different assemblies the children of this church and school are parts of through their childhood years. Now, these six kids who came tonight, they're just getting started in their years of academic instruction. Just getting started. But how many hours have they been taught already at home and at church? I thought about toddler nursery. I mean, these little two-year-olds from Mrs. Heyman, flannel graph, and these little two-year-olds go home singing songs about Jesus. 2 years old. Am I doing any good? Well, whether you feel like it or not, God said words of wisdom will be used to fasten people in the right way, like a nail. I thought about elementary Sunday school. I thought about primary church. I thought about King's Kids. I thought about camp, primary camp, junior camp. I think about chapel at Faith Baptist Academy. I think about vacation Bible school. I think about the church services. I think about special meetings at revival and mission conference time. I think about FBA Bible class. I think about primary church. I think I mentioned that. Not to mention what these boys and girls are taught at home. And what they are taught, if they will learn it, can be used as a nail to fasten them in the right way, the truthful way. And by the way, kiddos, nobody can make you learn. We can try to make it exciting. We can try to make it interesting. And by the way, let me just say, you know, you don't know what a person goes through until you walk a mile in their shoes. And I've not taught an elementary class, academic school. But I've had a teacher living in my home this year. And my eyes have been opened at the amount of time invested. And you know what? Our classes aren't very big. Some of them are only like 6 or 5 or 8 or 10 in number. And yet the energy and the time and the effort, and I believe the compassion that I saw put into teaching away from the 6.5 hours at school time. And I know that's not just true about the teacher that lived at my house. And by the way, she was my daughter, in case you're wondering. Okay, we better clarify that. Amen. So, hey, you're going to live with a teacher. Okay, all right. So, somebody will take that and burn a phone line up somewhere. The time they put in. And kiddos, You turn a deaf ear to all that stuff. You're not paying attention in class, talking in church when you should be listening. Words of wisdom are going out. Well, I didn't hear it. I guess I won't be held accountable. Don't be too sure. When you have the opportunity to soak it in, you need to gather it in. Be like a sponge. Get as much from dad, get as much from mom, get as much from school teacher, get as much from Sunday school teacher, get as much from primary church, get as much from church service. Every place where a master of assemblies stands in front of you and tries to use in some fashion the Bible to give you principles of wisdom and rightness, soak it up. And you've got to make that decision for yourself that you want to learn and you want to be aggressive in your learning. And that will always be a benefit to you. God will use those words of wisdom like a nail to fasten you in the right place. The right place. You know, the truth of the matter is, I think I've told it before, our friend, Brother Jeff Fugit, who pastors Clay's Mill Road Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and a great story, went to Tennessee Temple to get his Bible college training in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and from Hazard, Kentucky, from the hill, back in the hollers. They traveled 70 miles to McDonald's. 70 miles one way to McDonald's. When they got there, there was a bunch of teenagers, and the lady said was taking orders. She said, "Where are y'all from?" And this kid said, "Kentucky." He thought he'd left the state. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about a long ways back. That's where Brother Fugit came out of. When he got to Chattanooga, now Chattanooga, Tennessee is not a very big city compared to a place like Chicago. But for a boy from Hazard, Kentucky, it was huge. And before he had to go home to help his daddy, when his daddy got cancer, he was working at the carpet mills there in North Georgia. Coming home to the dorms from carpet mill to the dorms at Tennessee Temple, he passed through downtown Chattanooga where the bars and the taverns and their lights and he'd never been inside one of those. As he began to pass by those things, they began to allure him. Coming home one night, a little after midnight, he parked his car across the street from a nightclub or a tavern. He said, "I want to just go in and see what's in there." Never been in one of those places. He turned the ignition off on his car, pulled the key out of the ignition on the column of the steering wheel, put his hand on the door latch of his car and started to pull on it. When he did, he heard his daddy's voice in his subconscious saying to him, "Son, if the things that go on in those places are so wonderful, why are they always so dark?" He let go of the door latch, put his key back in his ignition switch, cranked his car and went to the dormitory, and by the grace of God, can still say he's never been in one of those places. You know what that is, folks? That's a wise saying that was used as a nail. You with me tonight? Fasten that boy's life to a way of right. Boy, he's a grown man on his own accord now. Pastors a wonderful church down there. Good Bible college. One little thing, his daddy said. Years earlier, came back like a nail fastened in his heart to keep him out of a bad situation, to keep him in the way of rightness and in the way of truth. Am I doing any good? Are you doing any good, Dad? Are you doing any good, Mom? Are you doing any good, teacher? Are you doing any good, primary church teacher? Are you doing any good, 3 o'clock afternoon Sunday school teacher? No matter what it may feel like to you, put your best foot forward and pray and ask God to use you, because He said in His book, regardless of how I feel about it, regardless of how you feel about it, that the words of the wise, wise words taught by masters of assemblies would be used like goads and nails in the lives of those people who hear them. I hope and pray and trust that all that's been said in these past 40 weeks of academic instruction and Bible teaching and all that goes into Faith Baptist Academy. Hope and pray it'll be used in the lives of our young people as a goad and a nail to push them on in life and to keep them fastened to the ray of right. One thing to consider, and I'm done. These wise words are not the whims and opinions of people. These wise words are given from one shepherd. I wonder who that's a reference to. Wasn't it David who said, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Huh? The truth of the matter is, those of us who teach our own opinions and whims are doing a disservice to those who listen to us. The wisest words of the best of men are words from men at best. What comes from the shepherd? What comes from that book right there? Has the potential to make an eternal impact as a goad or a nail in the life of every child who listens. Am I doing any good? Just keep teaching. Keep teaching. Goes without saying that the most important truth to ever be taught is that a person needs to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And if you're here tonight, you do not know that heaven is your eternal home. I hope that you'll understand and realize that none of us are born into this world on our way to heaven. In fact, it's just the opposite. We're born into this world on our way to hell, guilty of sin against God, deserving the penalty of sin, which is separation from God forever in the place the Bible calls hell or the lake of fire. But thank God this book tells us about the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. He came and was crucified on an old rugged cross, shed his blood, and put his body in a tomb. 3 days and three nights later, he walked out proving that he was the Son of God with power. Ascended to his Father. Is coming back to this earth someday. It is his death, his burial, his resurrection that pays our sin debt, cleanses us and washes us, and gives us eternal life. And the most important truth you'll ever act on in your life is the truth of salvation, confessing your sin to God and receiving the gift of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior. If you've never done that, I hope that you'll consider it highly. Because that, my friend, is the greatest truth to act upon, taught from this book right here. Goads and nails. Just keep teaching, parents. Keep teaching, teachers. Keep teaching Sunday school. Keep teaching. God said it'll be a goad or a nail. And you kids, you keep learning. You keep listening, and you keep learning. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you tonight for these six young people. Thank you for their dads, their moms. Thank you for their relatives here this evening. Thank you for our school, the teachers, the administration. I pray that, dear God, they'll have a great summer, and Lord, they'll come back in the fall ready to apply themselves again to this all-important matter of learning. Help us to keep teaching. Give us a heart, a burden, a drive to teach truth and wisdom, for young people to learn from it. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I just wonder tonight if there might be somebody who would say, "Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I heard you say something about trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That was foreign to me. I don't know anything about it. Now, I'm not sure that when I die, I'll go to heaven. And that concerns me." Before I close in prayer, I'd like to just pray for you, not by name. Just ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking. "Brother Angel, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved." Just slip it up. Your hand right up. Right back down. I'll pray for you tonight. Not by name. Maybe I don't know you. "Pastor Angel, pray for me." Anybody like that here tonight? Dear Father, I thank you so much for the salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray now that you'll help us as we enjoy these events of graduation and celebrate with these young people. Bless again their families, their futures. May they live and honor you in all that they do. And Lord, I pray that those who are in the position of teacher Every parent in this room, every person who fills a position as a teacher will keep doing their best, and that you'll use the words of wisdom as goads and nails in Jesus' name. Let's